Welcome to New Creation Fellowship's Proclamation Podcast. The vision of New Creation Fellowship is to live out heaven's cultural values through creative, redemptive innovation so that people from all nations may experience the glorious reality of new creation in Christ. Next time you're in the Orlando area, we'd love for you to join us for our Sunday morning liturgy. Just visit our website at newcreationorl.org for more information on NCF. And now, may you receive the proclamation of the Word of God as it truly is the Word of God.
It is important to recognize that by their very nature, prototypes represent some compromise from the final product design. This is due not to the skill or the choices of the designer, but to the inevitable inherent limitations of a prototype due to something called the map territory relation. For instance, just as a map is a reduced abstraction representing far more detailed actual territory, or a menu represents a meal but cannot capture all the detail of the actual delivered food, a prototype is a necessarily inexact and limited approximation of the real thing. Let's keep that in mind as we move forward. So now, without further ado, I introduce to you Adam. Adam is the prototype image of God. Adam was created by God, the creator of all things, on day six, the same day as livestock, creeping things, and beasts. However, as it is clear from the beginning account in Genesis chapter 1, Adam is indeed unique, different, set apart from all the other creatures. How, you ask? Because he alone is created in the image of God. And so, of course, the question is, what does it actually mean to be created in the image of God? Well, that's what I want to do this morning. I want to use chapter 1, verse 27 as sort of a key to unlock chapter 2. In those three lines of that one verse, I believe it gives us what it actually means to be an image bearer. The image of God is, first of all, a status. It is then a service, and that is shared. It is a status, it is a service, and that is shared. Let me show you what I mean. Let's start with status. The text says, "So God created man in his own image." This first line helps us, as we will see, to see that the status of man is one of inherent value and dignity. Look at verse 7 of chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature." God formed the man. God did this. Not chance, not some random acts of evolution. No, God formed him. Like a potter forms clay and makes something beautiful out of it. That's what God did with the dust of the earth. And then he breathed life into him. This breath of life gives Adam enormous value simply based on the fact that he was formed and gifted this life from God himself. However, this is not unique to Adam. God formed and gave life to all living creatures. This is why I can look at my puppy and see value in his life. I am amazed by his very existence. When I stare at him, I think about the fact that we share the same creator. I see beauty. I see the love of God. When I look into his eyes, I see life. And yet, in the end, there is something in me. With all the love I have for him, I still recognize him as, quote unquote, just a dog. Something that I would never, ever say about a human being. Which raises the question that David raised in Psalm chapter 8. He said, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? Yeah. And the son of man that you care for him? What's so special about Adam? It is the image of God. And the image of God is not merely a set of qualities or attributes or abilities. No, it is a given status. In other words, it is an inherent royalty. David goes on to say, you have made him a little lower than Elohim and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You've put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beast of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Yes, it is true that man was created on the same day as the livestock, as the creeping things and the beast. And yes, it is true that the blessing to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth was also given to them. But dominion is only given to the one creature that is Adam. Dominion, crowned with glory and honor. All this language is used for a king. In other words, the image bearer is a king on God's earth. Now that is value. I saw that the other day, I saw the prototype of the iPhone is worth $500,000. $500,000. It barely even works. It can't do any of the things that you love and know the iPhone for. And yet, it is worth $500,000 because of its very existence. A little infant human being cannot work. It doesn't do all the wonderful things that human beings are known for, that they do. And yet its worth is in its very existence. Yeah. If the prototype iPhone is worth $500,000, how much more do you think the prototype of the image of God is worth? Wow. It is really an insulting question, because you can't put a price on something so precious. There is no price you can put on the value and dignity of a human being. Adam, you have a royal status, an inherent royal status. You are a king. But you are a prototype king. You are not the king of kings. You have dominion, but you are of the dust. You have been given life. You are not the life giver. This is the mysterious humiliation and exaltation of the image bearer. In Mark chapter 12, some Pharisees came up to Jesus to try to catch him in his words. They came to him and said, "Yo, teacher, we know you're a man of integrity. You ain't swayed by others. You don't pay no attention to who they are, but you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Tell us, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should we pay or shouldn't we?" And the text says that Jesus, knowing their hypocrisy, he said, "Why are y'all trying to play me?" He said, "Bring me a denarius. Bring me one of those coins. Let me look at it." He looks at it and he asks, "Whose image is on this coin? And whose inscription?" They said, "Caesar's." And so Jesus said, "Well, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. And give to God what is God's." Adam, human being, you have inherent royalty. You were made to be king of the world. But that's because of the image that is on you. So give to God what belongs to God. Namely, all of you. Inherent royalty. A king. The image of God is a status. But not only that, the image of God is also a service. Back at 127 in that verse, the second line says, "In the image of God, he created him." Here in the second line, we will see that Adam serves as both priest and prophet. In this short poetic summary, there are a few things at play here as far as structure. One, of course, is the three-peated word created. Another is the progression from the singular to the plural, the singular mankind as a whole, human beings, and then to the singular him, and then male and female them. Another is that second line, the inverted repetition. Yes, it is repetition, but it's certainly not redundancy. There's a nuance here that lends itself not just to the fact of the image of God, but to the function of the image of God. As if it was to say, for the purpose of imaging God, he created him. In fact, there are some scholars who translate it as the image of God rather than in the image of God. And I think that is more accurate. Because as we will see, the image of God is not only a status, but a service. Look at chapter 2, verse 15. Verse 15 says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it." Now, the other times that these two words, work it and keep it, are used together is referring to the priest who is serving and guarding the tabernacle or temple. So why is that language used here? Because just as Adam is the prototype image of God, the Garden of Eden is the archetype temple of God. Yeah. Here's what I mean. In ancient times, temples were the dwelling place or the resting place for a god. And that god was represented by an idol that you would put inside the temple. And so in chapter 3, when it says that God walked with them in the cool of the day, it's the same language that's used about God walking among his people in the tabernacle and in the temple. Just as here there is gold and precious stones in the garden, in the tabernacle, and in the temple, it is decorated with gold and precious stones. And also flowers and trees that represent the garden. Even the lampstand is shaped like a tree with lights on it, representing the tree of life. Remember how the cherub guarded the garden when they were kicked out. And what guards the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant? It is the cherubim. It is God who made the garden, and it is God who gave careful instructions on how to make the tabernacle and the temple, because all of it was supposed to pattern the garden. I'll go even further than that. The Garden of Eden is patterned after the entire cosmos. It is a microcosm, because God has created the whole universe as his dwelling place, as his city. That is why Revelation, we see the new heavens and new earth, a city shaped like a temple, but like a garden. All of creation is God's city, his tabernacle, his temple, his garden, his sanctuary, his dwelling place, his resting place. And so when we look at the beginning of chapter 2, it says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all of the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all his work that he had done in all creation. These are the generations of the heavens and earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no bush of the field was yet in the land, and no small plant of the field had yet sprung up. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land. There was no man to work the ground, and the mist was coming up from the land and was watering the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground, the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and there it divided and became four rivers. The name of the first is the Pishon, and it is the one that flowed around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of the land is good. Belgium and onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Cush. And the name of the third is the Tigris, which flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden to work it and to keep it. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden to serve it and to guard it. Because this describes the role and the function of a priest. Therefore, Adam, you are by nature a priest, a servant, and a worshiper of God. This is why it was forbidden for the Jews to make idols. You are the idol. You are the physical representation of God on earth. Which goes to show just how dumb idolatry really is. It is forfeiting your very being, your identity and right as an image bearer, and giving it to a piece of wood or something and treating it as if it is God. It is flat out ridiculous. It is like selling your firstborn birthright as an heir for a bowl of soup. It is like instead of giving God what belongs to God, you give it to social media. It is like giving God or not giving God what belongs to him and giving it to sexual immorality. It is like trying to gain the whole world and forfeiting your very soul. So, Adam, don't be ridiculous. I mean, you can eat of any tree of the garden. Come on. The whole world is yours. Just leave that one alone. That's verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you shall surely eat of every tree of the garden. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Keep the garden and yourself holy. Keep it holy by being obedient. You're a priest. A priest keeps the law. Make sure nothing is unclean and make sure nothing unclean gets in. This is how you are to function. This is your service on behalf of God. The image of God is an inherent royal priesthood. Not only that, but Adam, you also serve as a prophet. Skip down to verse 19. Now out of the ground, the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. Now, wait a minute. Because in chapter 1, it says, and God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven or sky. Now, he can do that because he's the author. When you're the author, you have authority to name things whatever you want. In verse 10 of chapter 1, God called the dry land earth. And the waters, they were gathered there together, and he called them seas. And he can do that because he's the author. And when you're the author, you have authority to name things whatever you want. But Adam is clearly not the author. And yet God gave him authority to name the animals. And so in that sense, Adam, you are a co-creator with the God of the universe. You are a king. You are a priest. You are a prophet. The prophet has authority to name, to speak, to proclaim, to declare, to pronounce. The prophet can say, Saul, you king. And the prophet can say, Saul, you ain't king no more. And the prophet can say, David, you king. That's the authority of a prophet. But unlike the one who Peter called the author of life, you are not the author. You were given life. You were given authority. You are not the author. So just as authority has been given to you, has been shared with you, you must share it. Which brings us to our last point. The image of God is an inherent status, service, but it's also inherently shared. That verse 27 in chapter 1. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. That last line shows us that the image of God is a shared reality. Yes. We talked about the fact that Adam has inherent royal status. We talked about the function of his service as a priest. But now we must talk about the fairness of the image of God. In other words, the equality, the impartiality, the perfect unity of the image of God. In verse 18, chapter 2, it says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him.'" From the rip. In chapter 1, God pronounced his satisfaction with all that he created. But there is one thing that is flat out not good. It does not please God. It is not good that man should be alone. That word that's translated alone literally means separated. It is the opposite of being united. So it is not good to not be united. And just because I'm interested in it, the transliteration of that word alone is spelled B-A-D. Bad. Now, that's one of those things that don't technically mean anything. But it sure does fit the point. It is bad for man to be alone. The image of God is a shared reality. So no matter how hard we try to be individualistic, we can't escape the reality of being connected and affected by others. But this is not just generally speaking about being connected. This is particularly pertaining to male and female connectedness. The text says, "I will make him a helper fit for him." Now, out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and the birds of the heavens and brought them to the man and to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was his name. The man gave to the livestock. The man gave names to all livestock and the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "Sheesh, this is at last bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." First, let's deal with that word made. Because he made the woman. Adam and all the beasts of the field were formed like pottery. That's literally what the word is. But this is different. This word means built. The only other time this word is used is stuff like when Enoch built a city, or Noah built the ark. She is literally a brick house. Mighty, mighty, mighty. She is different. Very, very different. She's not like the man. She's different. She is. But she is much, much more than that.
Yeah. Come on.
She is a perfect helper. She's fit for him. That word helper is the word that's usually used to describe God himself. Psalm 124 literally says, God, our help is the name of Yahweh. See, our English word help doesn't really do it justice. Yeah. Other Psalms say, he's our help, our deliverer. Yeah. He's our help, our shield. Our word help doesn't do it justice. She is a helper. That word has more to do with the I'm in there with you-ness. We in this together. I got your back. I'm going to hold you down. That's what Yahweh does. He is our helper. That's what the woman is. Both together is the image of God. Both are inherently a royal priesthood. Both are inherently or inherently share the prophetic authority. That's why Peter said, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as a weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you in the grace of life. But here's the kicker. So that your prayers may not be hindered. If you happen to want God to not hear your prayers, go ahead and dishonor women. Because what we know for sure from the rip is that God does not like men and women being separated. Before racism, before nationalism, before all these isms, there was sexism, particularly the dishonoring of women. That is the biggest and most foundational brokenness in human relationships. Look at the state that we're in today, just as Americans. The disrespect, the disregard, and the dishonoring of women is completely out of control. We have males dominating female sports. What sense does that make? A grown man won Woman of the Year. What sense does that make? We got documentaries asking the question, what is a woman? We've gone that far. We don't know what a woman is. But I want to take Jackie Hill Perry's advice when she said in the last line of her poem entitled, What is a Woman? She said, if you ask me what is a woman, I'll tell you, ask the God who made her. And so when we ask the God who made her, she is the creation of Almighty God. She is indeed a female, not a male. She's different. She shares the image of God. She is a queen inherently. She is a priestly servant inherently. And she has prophetic authority inherently. And without her, it is just not good. That's why Verse 24, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Marriage between an individual man and an individual woman is patterned after the shared reality of the image of God. The husband and wife are one, and it is not good to separate. The image of God is a royal status, a priestly servant, a representation of God on earth. And it is a shared experience in reality. That, my friends, is Adam, the image of God. However, like I mentioned before, it is important to recognize that by their very nature, prototypes represent some compromise from the final product design.
Come on now.
And that's why, without further ado, I am happy to introduce, to announce, to proclaim to you the real thing. Adam 2.0. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in him he might have supremacy over everything. For God was pleased to have the fullness dwell in him and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, making peace through his blood shed on the cross. He has heavenly and earthly inherent royal status. It is he who is the blessed and only sovereign King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. He is fully human in every way, in order that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God. And as a servant, he obeyed even to the point of death on a cross. But on the third day, God raised him from the dead because it was impossible for death to keep him held down, because he is indeed the author of life. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him.
Yes.
And since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all died, so in Christ all will be made alive.
Yes.
And he did this because he loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Church, the first man was formed of the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we bore the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the image of God. Amen.